I don't care for him. Every time you bring a musician in here, it gets homophobic. It
gets really vile.
It gets racist. It gets anti. You know I love the Spin Doctors. You know I love the Spin Doctors. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon special guest episode. Dave brought a guest with him. Brought a friend, brought a chum, brought a companion.
Brought a long-time companion.
Brought his gentleman pal. That's all we're saying. Look, Dave is a happily married man. What we're saying is, Dave is a handsome man. This is a handsome man. It's just two handsome men. They hang out together and occasionally podcast together. Oh, hi, Dave. I didn't see you there. Would you like to introduce your handsome friend?
I will. I'll introduce myself. I'm David Dedrick.
And, heterosexual.
long-time heterosexual. Short-time experimenter, David Dedrick.
Just like Tesla.
Was he a short-time experimenter?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll go with you. Sorry, it was a block. So, on the show today, our special guest today is... how am I supposed to do it? Name first or qualifications first and then name after?
Qualifications
you?
And okay. With the name.
Sorry.
You guys have already forgotten my name. You're just this is scrambling.
No, we remember your name.
It's like at a party.
You're
this
gonna live
is,
forever.
Oh, he's a great fisherman.
He does a lot of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
No, you end with the name. That is the traditional way. Because if you have the person's name, then they start talking like this gentleman just did.
Because he got impatient.
Fuck it all up.
He got just impatient.
The janitor.
So our guest on the show today mm-hmm. is a well-known musician.
I'll stop you right there. Go on.
He's I guess you're solo. You do solo as the Aqua stage. Well, oh man, I'm asking questions when I shouldn't be. I'm supposed to be introducing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
You are in a band called the Awkward Stage.
Mm, see.
You are a longtime sideman. You've worked with AC Newman of New Pornographers, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And you do a great advice column show on CBC Radio 3 called Dear Shane.
It's about helping people. Sure. Yes.
You're a film actor.
And you've
so
also
you're a
been
film actor.
Yes, you are also a co-star of the Blaine Thurier film Male Fantasy.
True.
Very good. You were very good in that, by the way.
Grazie.
So, welcome to the show, Shane Elkin.
Thank you very
much.
Wait,
no, you talked over it. Don't say your name clearly now.
Welcome to the show, Shane Elkin.
Good. Now,
thank you very much. Thanks
Yay.
For having me. Yay.
We're terrible Shane. At this.
Well, my pleasure. Right off the bat, I should say that I invented a sex move called the Sneaky Dragon. So, depending on how this goes, you may or may not be hearing.
It's not the one that's on Urban Dictionary, is it?
Is there one already?
There is one on Urban Dictionary.
There is one on Urban Dictionary,
oh.
Yeah.
What consists of an...
It's an impossible sex act that involves making the girl laugh and the cum or ejaculate coming out of her nose.
Ah, that's an angry dragon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called smogging. Yes.
Okay.
By the way, are we starting
now,
the
show with this? Now, I've smeagled. I've never smogged.
Yeah, smeagling's a different thing.
Yeah.
That involves using a series of rings... I have no idea.
And a strap-on Bilbo.
Oh, well done, sir.
Well played.
Well done,
yes,
sir.
I'm here.
That's the first of a trilogy of jokes.
He's here all hour.
Well, welcome. Welcome, of course. You work for CBC, the CBC Radio.
Well, I freelance.
I sort of do, too. I'm sort of a freelance CBC lad myself.
Yeah, so I haven't done much with them recently, but hope to do some more. Yeah, that sort of came about just from... you know, being a musician and being called in to do interviews and things like this. And we'd have a few laughs, and then that led to just sort of, you know, they'd call me in at a moment's notice. Like, can you come in and pretend to be Billy Bob Thornton for 10 minutes? And who doesn't want to get that call?
That does sound like the CBC I know as well. Very last second.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas for a TV series? We need one tomorrow. I don't know. Guy in the Woods. Yes. Go. Yeah. Exactly.
I remember that series.
Oh, Woodsy?
Little Guy in the Woods in the Prairie.
There was Toilet Head. There was...
so many.
Yeah.
So many shows.
How you doing, Toilet Head? I'm feeling a little flushed. Great first episode. Then the jokes.
Crappiest show ever.
It just went down the drain.
All right.
Is that what you're
He's
saying?
In the tank. Come on, anyone else got any?
Okay.
But no, CBC, it's weird when I go into CBC because I used to work there back in the day when it was old-timey radio stuff all around, and now you go in and it's just a guy with the tiniest digital recorder, mm-hmm. like much less stuff than we have in this room right now, mm-hmm. but you still got to record it at the CBC, which seems very strange to
and
me.
No matter what the advancements in technology over there, the same guy working security at the front desk struggled with... with letting you in the building. Whether it was a button or a lever or a phone. Like, I see you every day. Please remember me.
Well, back when
I believe that stems from a friend of mine.
I know. I do. Okay, mine, which sure. will lead into your thing.
Okay.
Let me, Abbott, and then you Costello this. I used to, when I was a kid.
All right, Abbott.
In high school, I would sneak into the CBC and I would write scripts for them and slip them under producers' doors. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I made some money, which worked until a friend of David's fucked it up for everybody. Please take the story.
No, you tell the story because I think you know way.
Oh, here's
I was going to give
know.
It vague.
Here's what I was told. Okay. Like, and so I used to do that all the time. Then I'd come in, then I came in, and there was bulletproof glass everywhere.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, everything's bulletproof glass. What happened? And the guard, who I think is the same guard you're talking about, who has never stopped
Barney
working,
Fife type.
Basically, yeah. just went.
It's like 1,000 years old.
There was an incident. It's like, what? Someone got let in. Oh, who? I'm not allowed to say. None of us are allowed to talk about this.
And yeah, apparently
a friend of David's.
Yeah, he got a job there as security guard, and his policy was anyone who wants to come in, come on in. That was his policy at the door.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he just was kind of. I guess he looked up from his book, gave them the nod. Went on in.
Wow.
And
Something happened.
I mean, not even the bathhouse I attend has such lax security.
Well, you attend it.
Well, yeah, but there's not a lot of taxpayer funding for that bathhouse.
Actually, this one there is. This is also a branch of the CBC. When I say freelance, I got nothing.
Oh, man, that'd be great if CBC had a bathhouse in it. That'd make some money.
There are tax dollars, too, I remind you guys.
Yeah.
I want a bathhouse. I want an Anne of Green Gables-themed bathhouse.
Okay, explain. So you go in, someone smacks you.
A beachcombers-themed bathhouse.
Oh, I want to build on the Anne of Green Gables one. Because, instead of the birch thing swacking you, they have, little chalkboards they break over your head.
That would cook it.
This is Anne of Green Gables sauna.
Yes.
Okay.
And bathhouse.
And so it's got potatoes that they pour the water on
That's
to create
right.
the steam in the... Okay.
All right. Now, now what would the beachcombers one be like?
The beachcombers one would be...
It would be a lot of body hair, I know, in there.
Yes.
And it'd be a pile of medallions in the... you pour the water over to create
That's
the steam.
That's the code. Whatever medallion you walk in with is what you're looking for.
That's right.
There you go.
So if you got a Jesse Jim medallion, you're looking for a certain thing. If you're looking for relic, you're looking for an older man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I should have named this drink here is the Bruno Gerussi. Can I get a couple more Bruno Gerussis over here?
Well, you're drinking a Coke and water.
Coke with a water chaser, yeah. Rockstar.
Yes, very demanding.
They keep trying to bring the Beachcombers back, and it never works.
Weird.
I've only seen the original. I've never seen a redux.
A reboot?
Yeah.
I think go all the way and put it just in the future, far future, mm-hmm. Beachcombers, and they're just space logs or whatever. They're just getting the asteroids or something. But it's still Molly's asteroid, and you just do it that way. Tied in with Rocket Robin Hood somehow. Mm.
Well, as enjoyable as this is, I just want to, before we get too deep into the show, I just want to mention that Shane has an Indiegogo campaign going on
very good. Okay. For his bathhouse.
And lesbian bar Cooter Bonkers.
The other thing, they need a liquor license, everybody.
Cooter Bonkers.
You guys need a rim shot. I mean.
Wait a minute, that's a different bar.
Hello.
That's Cooter Bonkers sounds like an NBC TV show from the 80s.
Get me a pen.
Had a time machine.
Kid is hot.
So
why isn't CBC calling now?
So Indiegogo is, that's similar to a Kickstarter, but us Canadians can do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's basically the exact same thing. But
Kickstarter
you can, not
But if you don't make your total, you can still keep your money, unlike with Kickstarter where it just evaporates.
I'm not sure if Kickstarter works the same way. You're given the option to have a fixed funding campaign or a flexible one.
Okay.
So one of the problems I'm faced with, I opted for the flexible funding where you get to keep whatever whatever you are able to raise.
Yeah.
However, once people, if people aren't, for those not familiar with how this works, when you're raising money, you offer perks in return, much yes. like they would on, you know, a public broadcast, like yeah. a PBS drive or something like that,
yeah.
where, you know, at the $20 level, you get a record. At the $50 level, you get a signed whatever, T-shirt or something like that. But with the flexible funding, you do get to keep all the money. But in my case, unless I meet my goal, you know, I need to produce the hard copy of this vinyl record. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So you know, I have to make sure that I mean, whatever I'm at this point already, I'm like bowled over by the generosity and the help and everything. And I'm really close. So, it's going to carry me a long way.
Yeah.
But if I don't make the goal, which I think I have a couple weeks left, 2 weeks,
17
left?
Days, I believe from recording, yeah, but by the time that we do this, probably 15 days.
Right.
So you've got
right.
15 days, people, okay. to get on the
days.
Stick.
15 days.
But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty encouraged. I mean, even if it were to end now, I at least could get a huge, you know, a huge part of the way.
I tried to yeah. contribute at the $10,000 level, but I discovered that it was maxed out my $200 limit on my credit card. So, sorry.
Well, then do nothing.
I know, that's the thing. I thought there's nothing
go
I can do.
Or go home.
That's my that is a saying. You've just summed up the motto of my life. Go home.
It's a very well put up the video. It's a very good video that you put up for that.
Oh well, yeah, thanks. You know, really I had a bunch of ideas for that, and whenever I have an idea to do a video or something like that, it never fails to offend a whole lot of people. And so I knew that I had to go somewhat broad with this thing, and because my original ideas were really really dark, and my friends all said, "Yeah, that's funny to me, but I'm as broke as you." You know, the people that really find this funny have no cash and never will.
Yeah,
you have to try and find some way.
You can't make the jokes to the band.
No,
you can't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was my mom's idea. She was like, "Why don't you do a cheap?" I had been, you know, leaving her, you know, voicemail messages in a really cheap Morgan Freeman
okay.
voice.
Right. Okay.
You know, really cheap. I have to, you know, just be clear. A really cheap Morgan Freeman voice. And she was like, just do that. Just do some sort of like nature video.
I'm trying to think of a cheap Morgan Freeman. I guess like we did that movie where he played the pimp. He was probably pretty cheap in that. He was affordable then.
No, when he was actor. When he was Speed just Reader.
Right. On Electric Company?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
when he was cheap.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I think Electric Company, they made some money off that. That was a popular show. But afterwards...
I'm just saying for him.
Oh, okay.
You know, his all first right. movie role was in Bonfire of Vanities. He played the judge in that.
Oh, wow.
Wait, that was...
Which was completely miscast because it was supposed to be like this old Jewish judge.
Whatever that movie with Christopher Reeve that he did where he played the pimp and everyone liked it, Street Sense or something? Street
I don't know.
Smarts?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one where everyone went, oh, damn, Easy Reader can act. Oh, right, pretty good.
Right.
I think that might have been before
really?
Bonfire of the Vanities.
I don't know. I thought that he was discovered for that film.
As we always say, we have three computers around us and a cell phone. There's no way we could find this
I
out.
I wish we could figure it out.
Some sort of interconnecting.
Let's just leave that sucker hanging.
So with your Indiegogo campaign, though, a percentage of your money goes to whoever funds whoever does this Indiegogo.
Yeah, they right? they take a percentage of
how much do they take, if you don't mind me asking?
I forget. This is something I really should have paid more attention to.
That 75% is going to take a major chunk out of it.
It's actually not a whole lot that
okay.
they take. Yeah, that's yeah. not a whole lot. It's basically to cover. Whatever.
Whatever for them, yeah.
Yeah, whatever for them.
Okay.
So, yeah, overall, it's a really great thing. Like, this was definitely a last resort for me to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people have mixed sort of opinions on it, but I think it's really great. And especially for musicians who have been dealt so many serious blows over just the last 10 years, as far as how the industry has gone. People don't really buy records anymore. It's
nowhere to buy them.
The landscape is completely,
yeah.
you know, turned on its head. And so now this basically just puts the artist directly in touch with the people that mm-hmm. want to support
Absolutely.
What they do. And
yeah.
And so finally, I had already sold my car and worked a million different jobs to try and get this record done. I started a year ago. And finally, it was like this, the only
way. So it's a year out of date.
Well, most
all the topical,
are.
A all
lot
the topical
of songs,
songs
about the Mayan apocalypse.
No, I got a really good one about these Chilean miners too.
A lot of One Direction covers.
No, yeah, the album's called Ass Rape by Aztec Demon. No, that makes no sense.
Still, it was good.
I would still look and see what the album was. I'd flip that album over. If I saw Ass Raped by Aztec Demons, I would pick that one up. I would turn it around. I would see what the picture
and
is.
And it's actually abbreviated to ABBA, too, just to like...
Oh, nice.
There you go. No, it doesn't make any sense. Most records are that way. Most records are... you know, by the time you get them in your hands, I mean, those songs are... there's already another record already probably ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a long time to...
It's not like the 60s where it was two records a year.
Right.
Four singles a year.
I mean, some people churn records out really quickly, but I just don't have the resources. You know, I live in a fridge box under the bridge, so...
that definitely limits.
It definitely limits.
My favorite song of yours is It's Cold... And what's that biting me?
That's
another good one.
Yeah, that's a B-side.
Oh, that smell is me.
Right. Well, Chiggers and Ticks is the name of that album.
The greatest box of all. Now, we say people have mixed reactions to Indiegogo. Who's the naysayers on this? What's the negative side?
Well, I know there's some people that are... I mean...
Who are these people?
Yeah.
Name names.
If I start to discuss this person, I will fly into a frenzied rage.
Sounds perfect.
That's the last thing on a podcast. We do not want controversy or interest. Keep it mild.
There was a writer for The Straight who came out with a ridiculous article that made the rounds, and I just
Yeah, what's the negative
What is their argument? Just like
his argument was
busking?
That it annoyed him that bands are asking for money. It annoyed him. That was the thrust of his argument, as far as I could tell.
When people pass the hat after a concert, would that annoy him? Right. When they're busking on the street, does that annoy him?
But in the same article, he talked about how he goes to shows for free, doesn't pay to get in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Almost in this, I almost thought that this article must be designed just to infuriate, the way like a talk radio pundit, Ann Coulter type would just try to stir up some interest.
Sure.
But apparently this is how he feels, and I'm going to murder him.
The only negative I see on Indiegogo is I want to contribute to all the sick animals that they've got on.
Yeah,
so you're next to a cat that needs an operation, and frankly, I'm going, I could give you some money, but this cat, its tail is messed up.
Would it make you feel any better to know that that is my cat? It all goes to the same place, man.
That's actually good, splitting your interest.
It's
just like, listen, I'm gonna injure my cat in a way that I know how to
actually
fix.
this is like that, remember that urban legend about the, you know, they use a different band every decade, but it was like Motley Crue holding up a puppy or whatever. We won't play until this puppy is dead, and throwing it into the audience. That's gonna be my new thing via Indiegogo. If I don't reach my total, I'm gonna strangle these kittens.
Work for the Lampoon with
shoot the dog. Yeah,
yeah, no, that's
wow.
Fine. No, I the cats, like, they break my heart, and then
about that.
They're always full though. This is like 120% done, actually seems like it would be a pretty good scam, frankly. Like, you just fake an animal thing, and then people send you money, and who the hell knows? Do you have to like show the vet report to people?
Well, that's the other part that's really, you know, difficult on a site like that, is because I mean, you know, you can't really put those two things side by side.
No.
I mean, it's really difficult to ask for money to finish your record when there's some kid dying and needs medical bills, and you know. But the thing is that what's so great about that site is you can use it for absolutely anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's really difficult when you put your record alongside something like that, you know.
When you were saying that...
Donate to the sick kid, by the way. If it's between my record and the sick kid, by all means.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you see... when you're saying like...
Because he's my son.
The poor people don't donate to this, so you shouldn't play to the poor people. I disagree. You know, a guest that hopefully we'll have on the show sometime, Colin Upton, did a good comic strip about people that give money to people on the street. And it's not rich people. It's poor people.
Poor
people relate to poor people.
That's right.
So I think it's the same thing. It's all like right. you're preaching to your own choir there, where it's like... Oh, this kind of music I like. I'm probably in a similar state to you. I'm not living in a mansion.
You're so right.
But I want more of this, and I can throw in, you know, a couple of bucks.
You know, some of the people who have donated to this record already donated their time as musicians on this record.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, just incredibly heartwarming. Like, people who already played on it, you know, my drummer, Awkward Stage drummer, you know, already played on it for free.
Yeah.
I hope you are aware that that was for free, Tony. And then he, no, no.
You don't want to make drummers mad. They have very strong arms.
No, I, of course.
And they're not very bright.
Apparently not.
He said it. Go, he said it. Tony is very bright.
That's in their head. That's all they got all day long.
They'll all get paid. They'll all get paid.
I'm just speaking of my father-in-law right now.
But yeah, I mean, my friends have, who I know are just as broke as me, have given me money.
But people are game for that. Like, if you're doing, like, an indie film or something, everyone will donate their time and whatever. And it's nice when your album does come out. People will go, oh, yeah, they'll know they were a part of it.
They had a hand in it. And that's a good feeling. Absolutely. It's a great feeling for me, too, because not always easy to admit you need help. And then you finally, when I finally did launch this thing, it was kind of like that feeling when you throw a party and, you know, no one has shown up for the first half hour. You're like, oh, boy. And then, you know, all these generous people came out of the woodwork and it was fantastic. So it's great to know that, like, yeah, it's like we're making a record, you know, and there's extra pressure for me to make it not suck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with needing help. Everyone needs help. Like anyone, mm-hmm. no matter what stage you're at, like the richest, you know, Richie Rich of the Richingtons, they get help from someone. No one does this stuff on their own.
Well, sure. I think I'm going to start an Indiegogo campaign to buy a new podcast.
Hey.
What do you mean, buy a new podcast?
Nothing. Just saying. What? Just an idea.
Oh, this is
I've always wanted to, aside from the lesbian bar Cooter Bonkers, I have an idea for a...
On Before Scooby-Doo!
I have this idea for a...
Is that produced by the Croft Brothers? I can't think of their name. Marty Croft.
If you are going to interrupt me...
At least have something in the chamber.
Sid and Marty Croft.
Sid and Marty Croft right now.
I said it 4 minutes after I hesitated.
HR, puff and stuff this up your cooter bonker.
Oh, you might like this idea. It's a glory hole hot dog restaurant called Johnny Wall Dogs. I have the commercial
when
in
the
my
other
head
hot
for
dogs don't perfect. Glory holes don't cut the mustard.
I just have this image of a bunch of hot dogs being violently shoved through holes in the wall. And you're just on your knees. Forget it.
Okay. Whew. Well, that's a conversation stopper.
No, it's not. We're all just enjoying it.
I love the Dalek shelf there.
Yes.
Every home should have a Dalek.
This is my wife's art area. She worked on a Doctor Who comic.
And really?
Yeah, we have many a Doctor Who figure up
that
on the
rules.
Wall. Yeah. Yeah. She did a couple issues of a comic called The Forgotten.
Awesome.
Which had all the Doctors in it. Yeah. So describing it to the audience, Daleks and lots of Doctors and characters from the Doctor Who. On my side of things, we've got the Justice League done Golden Age style.
Hey.
And a random other, we got some X-ray vision, can of X-ray visions up there, and many other things. Not that interesting to describe on the podcast, but there we go.
But we did it anyway.
It's like I woke up in my room in 1983.
Oh, were you a
Doctor Who fan in 1983?
Back then, Doctor Who nerd?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sleep very much, and back then they played the black and white. You know, the...
Peter Troughton?
Was that guy.
Name? Yeah.
Patrick Troughton.
Patrick Troughton, who's Pertwee?
And the John...
The next
and,
guy.
William Hartnell was the first one.
I came
one.
Aboard later on with a... whatever the guy is. Christopher...
Eccleston.
Eccleston.
You came in really late.
Yeah, he's like the first season of the modern reboot.
That's the one everyone likes.
I would always start watching and be like, episode 3. Well, I don't know. I'm done.
Right.
Like, you if you're a
episode 4, I don't fucking know.
If you're a Tumblr fanatic like me, you see
As
a lot
in,
of
you're in circus.
Yeah,
kids.
That's right. I do a lot of tumblering. You'll see a lot of fan art just of the modern. There's very few fan art of Tom Baker or Patrick Troughton.
It's weird because Tom Baker seems the easiest to draw. Big hat, scarf, big nose, you're halfway there.
I got hooked around the time that Christopher Eccleston Doctor Who came out. They had I don't know if you guys saw this, but they had a free video game on the site where you got to be a Dalek and you would upgrade and you had to destroy the Doctor. And
oh,
you'd
neat.
Go through this maze. And it was awesome. I mean, as far as free games go, I totally got sucked in.
Well, the CBC sponsored the first Doctor Who, you know, redo, the Christopher Eccleston one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I remember, like, Christopher Eccleston would come on before the episodes and just be like, "Hello, Canada." Well, I'm not going to do the British accent, but "Hello, Canada."
He's such a great actor. He did a Canadian accent for the spots.
That's right. And he would go like, "Stay tuned. We'll ask you a question at the end, and maybe you'll win this thing."
Right.
And I'm phoning this in, and I quit at the end of the season. I've had enough of this.
Actually, the CBC quit too. Don't worry.
Well, they didn't need the money anymore. The BBC, they were making money, so much money, it was ridiculous.
I entered a couple of those contests. Because
yeah.
you got one, because you'd get to go to London and visit the set of Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, by the way, David is wearing a Doctor Who shirt.
I'm wearing my TARDIS shirt today.
Yeah, it looks totally retardist.
Thank you.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I can take it. I can take it.
Disagree.
I can take it.
Disagree with my own joke.
I'm a big man.
Is this a bad time to pitch my Down Syndrome Abbey series?
No,
what's
please.
It called?
I think that's the title.
Oh, sorry.
What's the title? What's it called?
You're hired.
This is what I deal with every week. Every week. Punchline? Setup? No. Ah! There we go. No, I was very late to the Doctor Who nerdingtons. Though we went to England a while back, and like everywhere we went, Doctor Who Museum. We just stumble-bummed into every damn Doctor Who Museum there was.
I was on tour with A.C. Newman in 2010, I think it was. 9, maybe? And we did a few UK dates, and pardon me. We were in Glasgow, and a couple of the guys from Belle and Sebastian, if you know that band, one of my favorite bands.
That's our theme song.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Please don't tell them we're using
this. Yeah, please don't tell them we're using this.
Please don't say anything.
We're not really in touch. But,
the story doesn't hold a lot of water.
So which members of the band?
Stevie Jackson and Bob Kilday. They're both really terrific guys. And I met a few of them briefly. I was introduced when they were here. A couple of them were here playing in Stanley Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was a solo
thing.
They
did one at...
they played the Orpheum and...
But they did one at the...
Commodore.
And at the cultural center, the Croatian Cultural Center.
Oh, really?
I was hoping that you would like, keep interrupting him and saying the things before.
When was that?
Okay, it was my. It would have been.
It was when I lost my virginity.
2000
so last summer.
2000 and. I can't quite remember now. But I think my daughter was about 6 then, so it must have been just around 2000, 2001.
Oh, okay. Wow, cool.
Just before the album around Fold Your Hands, Child? You Walk Like a Peasant? Yeah.
Cool.
When was that? I can't remember now. Sorry.
That's okay. I think that one was later than that.
Okay.
Right? I don't know.
so you're in Glasgow.
I'm in Glasgow, and we play the show, and they come backstage, which was already crazy. And I'd met them just so briefly.
Yeah.
And the first thing, you know, they say to me is, I don't know if you remember meeting me, but it was Stanley Park a while ago, like a couple of years ago we met in the park. And I'm blown away. And they took us to this bar called the Nice and Sleazy, which is a legendary shithole.
Okay.
A lot of musicians hang out there.
Named after a Strangler song.
Yeah. A great, great bar, too. It's fantastic. I loved it. And they were just so generous. They wouldn't accept any money and just, you know, took the whole band out for drinks. And this was our one day off, and they had promised to take me to a Doctor Who museum the next day and help me find these trainers for my then-girlfriend. She needed these UK-specific Nikes that I... My search for those basically broke us up. It was horrible. But anyway, I never got to go. Our road manager guy pulled us out of that bar, and that was that.
Oh.
Yeah, bastard.
Road managers.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Well, he sensed there was a flickering of enjoyment and
crushed that.
He put a stop to it.
Put a stop to it right away.
To the one
that is their job.
Yeah, you could have been going to the one in Manchester. That could have been one. You could have been going to the one in Blackpool. They got the Blackpool one is the classic Doctor Who one. That's where you got all the old stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Like a lot of the costumes just barely hanging, literally by threads.
Wow.
Yeah. They had the Candyman outfit, which thrilled me because that was the one villain I remembered from Doctor Who. A guy who was just made of candy that looked like the guy on the Licorice All Sorts package.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he wouldn't last long in my apartment.
Because you have a leak?
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm not a big sweets guy. If he was made of gravy...
You need to ask him to leave. Excuse me. I don't care for sweets.
You're a little too sweet for me.
A moment
all
on
right.
the
lips. My boy, Cargo.
Moment on the lips. Lifetime on the hips. That's his little catchphrase.
When I was in England this summer.
Before he jumps in your mouth.
we'd actually went to Glasgow very briefly, but because we got lost. But we also went to Cardiff.
That's Glasgow's motto. You must be lost.
Yes, that is their motto. You must be lost. Come down this dark alley.
Don't you listen to him, Bell and Sebastian.
That's right.
Yeah, don't. They don't even live there anymore. Because we take your.
Yeah, anyway, please don't. Yeah, keep
if,
saying that.
If the three people that are listening could just donate $1,000 each to my Indiegogo campaign,
then that dog will die. Split it up. Give it to the dog.
So when we went there, there was the Doctor Who experience in Cardiff. Mm-hmm. So it's a little cheesy, but it does have the magical moment where the TARDIS doors open and you get to walk into the TARDIS.
Cool.
So I was like, you know, nerdgasming as I walked through these doors, you know, because it's so exciting. And it is, they have it set so it is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. Wow. And it just feels like it's a really magical moment for a nerd. And I was a long time Doctor Who dork. Like I watched the John Pertwee ones. Uh-huh. They used to run in the mornings on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. And then they had them on YTV. Mm-hmm. They played the William Hartnell, Patrick Troughton. But then in the mid-80s, early 80s, they had the Tom Baker ones. They would play them at midnight on KVOS. Mm-hmm. There's some enterprising fellow who, you know, himself, he sold his own airtime, sold commercials, so he could have a Doctor Who running on television.
Wow.
I think he lived down in Bellingham, but a lot of the ads were for places up here, like the Book and Comic Emporium that used to be on Granville Street.
Yeah, right.
They used to have ads on there,
right,
just to support this guy and his...
That's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Comic shops used to have ads on TV. That's weird. The comic shop.
Well, I'm sure these ads were not... Yeah, that's right. The comic shop used to have...
Yeah.
That's right.
Did Golden Age Collectibles ever have a...
I don't think so. I don't.
So the comic shop on 4th, it's gone now?
It's moved down 4th.
It's moved down, yeah. It's down by Elma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a smaller location next to a place with very expensive pies. Oh. We went there the other day.
That's why they moved there.
The pie was ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. $9 a slice of pie. Fuck off.
They were pretty clever moving the, you know, comic book store next to the pie store.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. But I think they probably...
They used to be next to the candy store.
They talked to each other, yeah. Those two business owners.
But once you pay $9 for a pie, now then wait, comics don't seem that expensive.
Let me just... True. Is there an adult bookstore on that same block?
No.
Or an arcade.
There is a hot dog glory hole place, though.
Johnny Wall Dogs.
So
I couldn't remember what it was called. I was going to go Wiener Bangers. Have you seen, by the way, that hot dog? I forget the name of the place, but it's a hot dog, and they got a giant hot dog out there, and he's like putting ketchup on his own head.
Right.
Like it's a curly Q kind of hair thing. And it's just like, it's disturbing on a lot of
right.
levels.
Same with the M&M guys, and all sorts of these animated treats that seem to want to be eaten.
But the hot dog guy seems to make himself sexy. Like, he's really doing up his hair for a night
right.
on the town.
Right.
He's on Granville Street in that real party, drinky, okay. fighty, yeah. party, yeah. fucky right. area. And it's just like, this guy seems strange. Like, disturbingly, yeah.
Weirdly
but yeah,
the erotic.
M&Ms, you're correct as well. Erotic as well.
Yeah.
Weirdly erotic. So,
like, well, sorry, just go to the M&Ms. Okay. And then they got that weird M&M thing now where it's like you got the pretzel in the M&M and they don't want it, but they're being forced to
That's
do
right.
this. And like the one guy, I don't want to have you inside me.
Right.
He's like, oh, you think I'm happy about
right,
this situation?
Right, right.
He's like, well, this is all kinds of bad now. Now
it
you're
is.
Not even happy to be the talking M&M.
I know. And then there's the one with the stripping off the shell at a party one too.
Right, because you got the sort of sexy green one.
Right.
He's got the glasses and she's got that come, yeah, it's like,
come hither
I'm
look.
Sorry?
Come hither look.
Come hither look.
Wait, she's brown. What am I talking about? There's the
he mistakes her.
One. That's another lady.
He mistakes her for a naked M&M.
Yeah.
Right.
And he strips off his candy shell.
Right.
So it's obvious that...
I mean, I made the same mistake too the first time I saw it and was really embarrassed to have begun masturbating, only to then find out. Oh, that's just its regular candy shell.
That's brown.
Why is my dick in my hand?
I just love the aspect.
It's not a naked piece of candy. It's a regular piece of candy, and yet here I am about to ejaculate all over my TV remote control.
M&M knows this, like he goes like, oh, it's that kind of party. So the M&M is aware that there is this kind of party.
Yeah, he swings. He's
and
a
has
swinger.
Been to one before.
Yes.
This is not his first rodeo. Like, he's so ready to drop trowel.
Have you guys never been to an S&M&M party? Am I the only...
Nice.
Well, what I thought was...
Smarties.
What I thought was important is that...
My safe word was harder.
Mine was red ones last. Red ones last! Red ones last!
Because they're the.
I thought the important part of your story was that you were far. You weren't close to the television. I just like that you added that just so we weren't worried. We're like, oh my God, you know, I have to buy a whole new television. No, just wreck the remote control.
That's right.
It's okay.
Well, if those I were closer to the television, I would have realized my mistake.
And there you go.
And, you know, I wouldn't have mortified everyone at Passover dinner the way I did.
Now I see why Elijah didn't show up.
Again. Someone always offends him.
Look, I went on Facebook.
He is so easily offended.
He said he was coming. Facebook said he was coming. Look.
I set him a table.
Had a place at it.
Well, he said maybe. Elijah said maybe. That's right. All right.
He's always, he's always in the maybe thing.
Invite him again.
He never declines.
Big shot. Has another party to go to.
He never declines. He never accepts. He's always in the maybe. And then he never shows.
He is one cool customer.
Ugh.
Maybe, as you know, when you were a kid and your parents said, can I have this toy? And they went, maybe. Maybe means no. Same thing on Facebook. Maybe means no. Maybe I'll come to your concert. Nah, maybe you won't.
My little sister, we're half Jewish. And so we just kind of half-assed both religion. We weren't raised religious at all, but... we would have Passover, and I remember my little sister. This is sort of a window into just how religious we were. You know, you leave the door open or whatever for the prophet Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, aren't we supposed to, open the door for Nigel or whatever? Nigel!
Yeah, we're always making plans for Nigel.
We're always setting plates for Nigel.
Half Jewish, half XTC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the great skylarking will occur. I can't remember names of albums. You guys are the music guys, so.
That's okay. Don't worry.
You want to music pun it, go to town.
I have no urge.
I'm just so happy there's someone musical to talk to David.
I know. We haven't even talked about music, so it's so sad.
But I want to say the nice thing.
Hey, Shane, what's your favorite record?
When I looked at your Indiegogo thing and you were singing to the dog, I was thinking, oh, we only have had musicians on the show. One, who are kind of funny gentlemen as well, humorous, and also who sing with dogs.
Yeah.
Because David M. Of No Fun, a lot of his videos online are him at the Chapters with a dog running around him as he is singing.
Well,
this seems to be a new thing, people singing with dogs. Explain.
That thing with me and the dog was a complete accident. And it sounded like I'm talking to a cop. But my friend Jorge... was helping me make that video, and that's his dog, William. And
a likely story.
I play a bunch of different instruments on the record, a ukulele, banjo, piano, a whole bunch of things. And so I thought, oh, it might be good to have a little clips of me playing each one of these instruments to show how unbelievably talented I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was he was setting his camera up, I was playing a bit of a song on the ukulele, and I was uncomfortable on this stool, so I sat on the floor, and he just was really just goofing around with his camera, and his little dog started dancing. Like, it was ridiculous. And so we filmed it, and looking back at it, we just were like, we have to use this.
Yeah.
I mean, people love dogs.
Well, we know that from Indiegogo.
Yeah, Indiegogo. It was like, smart.
Yes.
Actually got a dog on the thing. Nice.
Exactly.
He's funny. He's got good music. He's got the dog. Hat trick.
Yes, there you go.
Money, please.
Just sitting back the truck up. Cash and checks. No, I mean, he is who they are donating to for sure. He's the star of that video.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of like musicians and dogs because like it's great if you're a great musician when you just enjoy the music and the dog. But if you don't like the music, watch a dog run around for a while. That sounds good.
I am ashamed to say that I remember on tour, you know, having a picture of my dog on my amp. I was so, I would just like to.
You're so homesick?
And then
Houndsick?
I told my then girlfriend about it. And she's like, well.
Where are my shoes?
Yeah, where are my shoes? I was just thinking that.
Well, but I mean, where's the picture of me? It was like, it was my little dog that I, I missed her too, but you know.
I did that too when I was in Halifax working on a show.
You don't miss anyone like you miss your dog.
And I had a picture of my cat there. And
there
I was
go.
Like, yeah, and I'd have a little, and yeah, you'd feel, because you'd see your cat more and your dog more. And it, there's nothing wrong with that. We're fine.
Dogs and cats don't ask for footwear.
Right.
That's right.
And make a big fuss about it. And be endlessly tiresome about
and
footwear.
And they don't sleep with your father. Well, actually.
Of course they do. Why would a cat sleep with your father? What, does it smell bad? Cat will be sleep with anyone. Dog will sleep with anyone.
As long as you're warm.
Yeah.
And alive.
Absolutely.
Even half alive.
Talk something music, Dave. Go.
I don't know if I... So it has
pressure's
to flow. It's got to flow.
Okay.
I can't just... But I just want to say one thing. This is my sucking up moment.
Sure. Song.
Which is...
Lay it on me.
The AC Newman song On the Table.
Right.
I love your piano playing on that song.
Oh, bless you.
Thank I
you
love that much. Piano part in that song. I want to put that. I'm going to fit it into the show somehow. Cause
no, thanks a lot.
I yeah. just love it.
And pay him
great.
For it, obviously.
I'm going to. Oh,
you're not going to Bell and Sebastian.
I think I paid him by buying the CD. I did buy it.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot.
I'm still a part of the artifact generation, so I can't just have it on some digital thing.
Yeah, that was probably. I think that was the first record I played piano on, like in any sort of. You know, rock context. I was
really
you know, a guitar player yeah. for the most part okay. and played piano at home. I, you know, played just classical for my own, you know, practice and my own enjoyment. And so when Carl was doing that, he asked me to play. And so I was just sort of.
He asked you to play piano on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so.
He knew that you hadn't played it that way before, or he just wanted to see what you do? Or?
I mean, he was a fan of bands that I was in,
mm-hmm.
But I hadn't played piano in any of them. And, so, yeah, it's possible he just heard me playing at home or something like that, at my house or something like that. I don't recall, but he called and asked if I would play guitar and piano. He wanted, like, multi-instrumentalists in the band. So,
yeah.
Because it was the first thing he'd done since the you know, band he's in. So I think he wanted to be good. He was worried. There was a lot of pressure, you know,
yeah.
I assume.
He was feeling...
Yeah, always waiting for this backlash. But it's never come, so good for him. You know. Anyway, I was
I think he just put it as third, didn't he? His third...
He did, yeah. I play on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not on the second one because he did that all in New York. But yeah, I was just looking at or thinking about
I saw you on David Letterman.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was a huge thrill.
It must have been amazing.
It was amazing. Totally.
And he was nice to you. He gave you lots of compliments for your playing.
And it's funny because like I kept getting pushed farther and farther back on stage. And this had kind of been happening all tour. Like, go stand behind the plant and play piano. And so I was like, this is the Ed Sullivan Theater, goddammit. I'm going to be seen on this. Yeah, I've been watching this show since it began, since I was a little kid, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember Crispin Glover trying to kick him in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is one of those shows like SCTV or whatever that shaped
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, as we were sound checking and going over the song and they're blocking, you know, blocking us. First of all, I made sure that I was like, well, I'm going to make sure that I perform really well just when they're blocking us. Because I'm like, oh, let's... We got to get some of that guy.
Yeah,
he's having fun.
Because you were doing a little bouncing.
I was being
playing.
A ham, a total ham.
It's your moment.
It was my moment. And then, because I thought, well, no one's going to see me, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept, yeah, move back. Till finally, I think I was standing behind
he's
the
out
drums.
In the street.
Yeah.
In the ticket line all of a sudden.
Right.
He's by the Hello Deli.
But it was great because, I got the first handshake, which was awesome.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
What's his hands like?
Yeah, are his hands cold? I imagine them being really cold.
He did that weird little thing with his middle finger in my palm.
Oh,
you know, like,
he's a Rotarian.
Yeah. A Rotarian? Is that one of those Doctor Who villains?
That's right. Yes. They're half lizard, half finger.
No, it was a great experience. And, you know, I was high off it for a long, long time. And still am. You know, that was I just can't believe it. I mean, people like the Beatles and Elvis have stood on that stage. So pretty incredible to just be in that building. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. That is even more amazing.
Was it as cold as people say?
Yeah, it's chilly in there for sure.
Does that affect your playing?
A little, because we were there on a day when they taped two episodes back to back.
Okay.
And we got there really, really early. And I remember I was staying at a friend's house in Brooklyn. And this is just a little side note, just to show you the lack of entitlement that I have as a Canadian musician. There's a car outside and a guy who's holding a sign that says Shane Nelken on it. And my first reaction was, there's another Shane Nelken in Brooklyn. That's amazing. Like, what are the chances? It just lasted for a second, but still, that was my first like, no way. Like, we could be related.
I should wait around and see if that guy shows up. Yeah. We'll have a lot to talk about.
He's got his own car.
Man, it's taking forever.
Up. Yeah.
That guy's taking forever. I'd show up right away if I had a ride.
Boy, he's doing well. And so I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I guess that's for me. And then we showed up really early and... it was great just talking to, like, the crewmen and stuff. A lot of them who are, like, regular people in skits and stuff that they do.
Yeah.
Getting to talk to all those guys was great. And Biff and people like that was terrific. And it is really cold and you are really nervous but so excited. You don't see him until it's go time pretty much. They have, like, a stage manager, stage director guy sitting in his at his desk sort of just going through all the, you know, the sort of like all the notes, you know, and all the segments.
So the band is blocked, but they don't have other people come out, do they?
There's just a bunch of crew guys, lighting guys, mm-hmm. sound guys, and, you know, it's like playing any kind of, I've been on a few shows, nothing that big, but other TV shows and stuff. And,
yeah,
they're just basically like, you get a chance to go through the song, get comfortable, they figure out where everyone's going to be, how to mic everybody, and then how they're going to actually film you when the time comes. And then you're like, get all your stuff off stage. You have no time to tune or do any of that stuff. Basically, they come and get you in your dressing room when it's, you know, whatever, 5 minutes to go. You're in a hallway, I tuned in the hallway, and I'm standing with my guitar. We're all huddled up in the hallway, like, nervous, like, I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, there's going to be a commercial. You're going to hear Paul and the band start playing, and then you're going to run out there and start setting up.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember just having this fear that I was just going to hit my first chord and something wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And just urine would just pour out of the front of my pants.
Electrocuting you and the other guys. Yeah,
and that's how I would die. Yeah. I really had that. And
because that's the sort of thing that happens on TV. It doesn't go down the back of your pants. It has to go down the front of your pants.
That's right.
Everyone has to see it.
That's right.
Do you pee out of the back of your pants?
I'm just saying.
Lady style.
I don't want to talk about myself here. This is Shane's story.
So, yeah,
let's not talk about Dave's back cock.
Enough of your back cock, mister. I got a lot of that when I was a kid. Anyway, go on, Shane.
So, yeah, where were we? Backcock,
Paul Schaefer, Bangkok. Backcock,
we're in Thailand,
I run out there, plug in my stuff while Paul and the band are playing. I just start to kind of play along just to make sure that my guitar is working,
mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, like you're scrambling while he's saying, you know, from our next guests are this Vancouver band and so forth. And, you know, I'm still messing with pedals and just, please let this go okay. and it was great. I just decided in that moment, like as nervous as I was, like, look at what you get to do here today. This is like unbelievable. Amazing.
And you got to do like a featured solo in the song.
I did. And with an Ebow, if you don't know what that is, it's an extremely temperamental device that had not been working for me all tour long. And they picked the song for us to do.
Oh, really?
And they had to pick this one that had an Ebow solo, which I think I am, as far as I know, the only person to do an Ebow solo on The Letterman Show. I don't know of anyone else having done that before.
Well, you know, when REM was on doing Ebow the Letter.
Ebow. That's right. Ebow the Letter, the REM song with Patti Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really tricky because it's this plastic device that has magnets in it, it's battery powered. And the original idea of this thing was that it would simulate the sound of a bowed instrument on electric guitar.
Oh, okay.
You basically just place it over top of the strings and it causes them to vibrate and then suddenly you get this swell. But it doesn't sound like a bowed instrument at all. It just sounds kind of like a weird backwards guitar,
a weird kind of sustain to your guitar.
That's right.
Long sustain.
You don't hear the attack of picking the instrument. It's just kind of this sudden vibrating. And you have to control everything with your left hand, and it's extremely temperamental. You turn it one way too much, and you'll get feedback like... or silence. That's the other thing. Maybe even worse. You can fake that you meant the feedback, but there's no faking the hey, look at me doing nothing.
And, look at me,
the
Ma.
Best air guitar I've ever
that's
seen
right.
on this show.
That's right.
I think the only air guitar that's ever been on a Letterman show.
I know. And so
but it went
it,
really
it worked out. And I mean, there is an awkward moment where I discard it and rejoin the band, but you can't really tell that much. And yeah,
cut to Letterman, he's just shaking his head. He's like,
that was awkward.
I'm going to take this out.
What a dog and pony show. Yeah. Now, he was great. He was very complimentary and seemed to really like it. And
who was the big guest then?
You know what really, really upset us?
Oh, okay.
Was it originally supposed to be Jack Donaghy? Alec Baldwin was supposed to be on our episode.
Fantastic.
We were so excited. And for whatever reason, he ended up having to postpone. And we got Zac Efron.
Oh, lucky
maybe
you.
He couldn't
Zac
get
Efron.
Off an airplane.
He was very nice.
At his daughter. Maybe.
Perhaps. There's a lot of disappointed teenage girls outside the stage door when I came out, though, you know, expecting Zac Efron.
And
wow, he's really let himself go.
Older women expecting Alec Baldwin.
They could tell looking at you, they're like, he doesn't have a back cock.
But I showed them with my front bum.
It's front bum and back cock. Listen, we need you to solve this murder, Batcock.
I notice
you're on the case.
I notice you have their figurines on your shelf, too.
Yeah. He does things his own way, damn it. He can talk at a urinal and face the other way. Have a conversation.
Behind you, front bum. Thanks. Thanks, Batcock.
No one expected a fart coming from there. Good distraction, front bum.
That tickled my fancy.
Listen, side badge. You're teaming up with... No, they have a weird relationship, those two.
Oh, dear. Well, there's another CBC show.
Oh,
Front Bum and Back Up.
There we go.
Right, I'm going to start working on the theme.
That was right after Wojak.
That's right.
Wojak. That's my front bum.
Are you seeing... That's right. You're not seeing things, buddy.
Oh,
anyone got any more? No, we're good.
We're good.
I was going to do Everything's Coming Up Rosie, but no one remembers that was a CBC show. It's all right. With Dan Aykroyd, back in the 70s.
Really?
Yep.
What was it called?
It was called Coming Up Rosie. Mm-hmm. And it was a story about a building, and basically it was like an elevator operator, and he was in love with like this gal, Rose someone. But yeah, John Candy was on it.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd was on it.
It was a series?
Yeah.
A kids show.
Oh,
yeah, and
it wasn't super childish though. It was almost like a sitcom.
It was pretty hip. It was around the same time when David Steinberg had his show that had everyone from
Martin Short,
SCTV before SCTV.
Dave Thomas and Martin Short.
Joseph O'Flaherty.
I discovered an exciting thing yesterday. I was one of the ladies that I'm in EFM with. She did costumes on SCTV.
Cool.
During the Robin Duke, Tony Rosato era.
Cool.
She said, yeah, they're really nice. She said, Joe Flaherty said, the nicest man I've ever met.
How awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is so brilliant.
I said, Dave Thomas seemed like a bit of a dick. She goes, yeah.
Right.
I'm working with his ex-wife on some stuff right now.
Well, she has very high opinion of him either.
I don't know. She was the casting director for Strange Brew.
Okay.
Right. And it's great. Like, she knows everyone from, like...
Pam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows everyone from 80s and 70s comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, whenever I go to her Facebook page and she says something and I'll comment, and then it's like, Valerie Bromfield! And then all these other people will comment afterwards. I'm just like, holy shit!
That's awesome.
It's pretty...
Gilda Radner!
Yeah. It's like, there's Gilda Radner's ex-boyfriend. You did this with this. You once pissed off Chevy Chase, and he got mad at this. And it's just like, I just know too much about that kind of comedy.
I read Dave Thomas's SCTV book, which was pretty great.
Me too.
Yeah, it was a great book.
I have a signed copy of that.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
And who signed it?
Snoopy.
I saw...
It says Kyle, age 9, on the first page. Happy birthday, Kyle.
I self-signed it.
Robin Duke is in a group now called Women Fully Clothed. It was a parody name of Bare Naked Ladies, which no longer exists, I guess.
The band no longer exists?
Also, what's that? Bare Naked Ladies? I don't believe they
No,
exist.
I think they are trying...
They're still
a band.
Too. Yeah, they were here at Christmas, weren't they?
Dissolved, and they all went their own ways.
I don't believe so.
You guys know music?
I don't. Know. Well, if you know the Bare Naked Ladies, you don't know music.
Why is that? Why is that, Dave? Why is that, Dave?
No, nothing.
David, I used to.
The naysayer.
At CBC, a joke that you remember Moxie Fruvis, Gihon Gomeshi's band.
Oh boy, they were good.
Once they were the king of Spain. Now the
yes,
especially their song about the library.
Like there was this horrible period there where like this weird sort of frat rock, this wholesome.
Wasn't just that. It was
awful.
Like this vocal
almost
group.
Kid band type of sound.
Yeah.
And
it was called Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Moxie Fruvis made the Bare Naked Ladies sound like the Velvet Underground.
There was a
nice
few like
one.
That, though.
Well
there
done,
was...
everybody.
Huh? Yeah, that's right.
That is a classic joke.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's one to pull up. What
you're
I was
welcome.
Saying, though, Robin Duke, though, was she's in this group, and like one of the
We're
main
tired ones, of that story now, Ian.
No, we I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I'm trying to remember the name of the woman who was in Going Down the Road, Jane, blah, blah, blah. I want to say Mansfield, which is absolutely wrong, but that's the only way I can get to
I know
her
who
name.
She's
in SCTV, the parody of Going Down the Road.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
But when I met her
Eastwood?
For a brief period of time, what's that?
Jane Eastwood?
Sounds about right. And yeah, I just wanted to just like quote all the things she ever did on SCTV to her.
Wow.
I just knew everything, and you're just trying to be cool about it.
Right.
And it's not even like they're the biggest.
Who's this, Robin Duke? You wanted to?
Well, both actually. Okay. I knew all of Robin Duke's stuff, but Jane's stuff, you know, because she did the parody of Going Down the Road,
which
was my favorite SCTV sketch ever. You know, the host
really
the moose out. Yeah, it's just like fuck Young Street, going down Young Street for forever.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
So good. And she was making all these, you know, jokes about, you know, how she's just so old and all this kind of stuff. And like, you're fucking fine. You're fine. Everything's great. You're fantastic. Go and yeah, they did a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Did a nice job with their.
I dated a girl whose mother
Bragger.
Was parodied. parodied on SCTV. Andrea Martin did this girl I dated. Her mother was like a yoga personality.
Okay.
In the 70s and 80s.
Wow.
She had
ahead of the curve.
Yeah, her own TV show.
Kareem's yoga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
and her name is Karina Zebroff, and
I watched her eat lunch once.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, that's
from a distance through binoculars.
That just blew me away. That my worlds were colliding like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Because just imagine, I had no idea about this woman, and I've known her for I don't know 6 years, and she brought it up yesterday. Like, hello, my second favorite comedy show of all time. Like
after
Monty Python.
Very good. Who's your third?
That's a
Goon Show.
Fourth.
Then you're starting to
annoy me.
Yes, that's right. I don't think past that. Fourth but, favorite
Kareem,
show.
Kareem, I used to go to
maybe the goodies
watch, tapings of the Alan Thicke show and the Don Heron show because I went to see the stand-up comics.
Cool.
And she did her Kareem's yoga there. And beforehand, they'd always put the audience members in the cafeteria, like, buy some food, and so we will make money off you. Mm-hmm. And she was there eating, like, a big burger. And I was like, well, that's unusual. That's strange. And, like, yeah, I just thought, she's really flexible. She can do weird things.
Yep.
It's neat. And, yeah, I couldn't keep my eyes off.
What about her daughter?
My little sandwich.
Her daughter was the model in all those books.
Oh, cool. Really?
So, yeah.
So she was flexible, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you didn't. My daughter was so excited. She was watching one of those shows, like Say Yes to the Dress or one of those sort of shows.
Right.
And this lady on the show, she was looking for a dress with her bridesmaids, and her gay black friend was there with them. Mm-hmm. And he suggested that they buy like short dresses because it was summertime. She's like, no, I want traditional, da-da-da-da. Finally, she comes around. She goes, you know what? Would be good. Short dresses, because then everyone would be cooler. And he goes, And she was so excited. She actually ran downstairs to tell me. I actually saw someone in real life go, She couldn't believe it.
Not in real life.
Okay, but you know. Yes, I
get
know.
The feeling the way they do those shows is beforehand, they go like, hey, Dave, we're going to need just some reactions from you.
Okay.
Like they do before you go to a sitcom. They'll go like, just get some laughter from what you guys.
That's
just
right.
Get some laughter. Yeah. So, Dave, look, roll your eyes. Now look a little shocked. Bug eye out. Now give me a... Uh-huh. Yeah. He went there.
That's girl.
Right. Girl. Yeah. That's right.
Neighbor,
oh,
please.
Snap. Yeah, all that
Ninja,
stuff.
Ninja, please.
I would like to
that
see
was
Ninja,
her name.
Please.
Her name was Ninja. Interesting.
Did she say yes to the dress?
I believe that I don't know.
Okay.
And that's as much as I'm going to say about it. Because I don't know.
Cliffhanger.
I do sometimes come home and that's on and my wife's watching it. My sister's watching it.
Because my thing is say no to the show.
Well, there's nothing else on, clearly. Yeah. That means they've got something
No, that does not mean
do.
That. That does not
it
mean that.
No, that means there's something else they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to like count like with knitting or they're doing something where they actually can't pay attention to a plot. So, you know.
Yeah. I've not seen the show, Say Yes to the Dress.
It's kind of one of those Bridezilla shows where someone has temper tantrums over the fact that there's not enough sequins on their ginormous
wedding. But actually, in this case, the
dress.
Person who's the bride is usually nice. And they usually have some really evil sister who's just like, you look fat!
It's no gypsy wedding.
It's weird That's because it sounds like it's got everything that I love in a show.
Brides?
Yeah.
Dresses?
Glory holes.
Glory holes.
They shove the dress through a glory hole.
You know, that's gonna
They shove the bride through a glory hole.
You just inspired my new drag queen name, Gloria Hole. What do you think?
Well, there you go.
That's
I love
not
it.
Bad.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe
Gloria. My old one was Amber Alert. I thought that was a pretty good drag queen name.
It gets people's attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely nice. Does.
Wow.
What? Now the thing you do for CBC.
Timmy, you stay away from her.
The CBC thing you do, where you give advice, what's that all about?
Yeah.
That's,
for those of us that don't know.
Dear Shane.
Dear Shane.
It started, it was Lisa Christensen's idea, host at CBC. She pitched that show on my behalf.
Nice.
She was like, this could be funny. And so I.
Do you owe her money? You have to give her 10% of your.
What is 10% of owing $25,000? No, it was just out of the kindness of her heart. And she and I always had a lot of fun working together at CBC. I worked with a bunch of different people there, but it was her idea. So full credit goes to her.
Okay.
But she just sort of pitched it with me in mind. And they said, sure, we'll let him try a few. And in the beginning, it was they'd have musicians come into the CBC and they would, sort of push their work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of their interview, they would usually just get them to ask me a question.
Okay.
Or they'd have listeners call in or write in or phone in or whatever and yeah. ask me a question. So in the beginning, I was sort of, we were still trying to figure out what to do with that show. And I was actually trying to answer these questions and still be somewhat entertaining. And it was okay. But it wasn't until later where I was like, well, really, I can just sort of set these up myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And started to, you know, either get friends to pretend to call in.
Yeah.
Or I would...
like your good friend Kyle Newman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, yeah. In that episode, I phoned myself from the future. and then there's another one with Blaine Thurier where he is really depressed. And he keeps getting interrupted by a commercial for Doc's Chop House that's really obnoxious. You know, with one of those voices like, we start with a, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's weird. They have those ads on the CBC.
I know. It's yeah. strange, isn't it?
It's the only yeah. thing that advertises on CBC is Doc's Chop House.
Yeah. Well, that came about. We were on tour.
It's that Chop House rule that, you know, it kind of came in the 30s yeah, when the right. CBC was first being developed.
Yes.
It's a loophole.
Well, I remember that because we were on tour and, you know, you stop for food and we were at one of these fast food places or whatever. And all the posters are like extreme, you know? Like, everything is like a screamer or a shrieker or a slammer. And it was just like, what about sitting down like a human being and digesting your food? You know, everything was yeah. just so extreme. So we started to just sort of riff on that in the van. Like, we start with a confused senior. Slather him in dangerously hot nacho cheese. And so forth. And but I started to get really surreal with it, you know.
The screamer or shrieker, whenever they describe it as that, that's also how it comes out of your ass.
So very Whopper. True. Yeah.
Well, here comes the Whopper. Look, yeah. whatever they call it, that also pertains.
That's one that's always confused yeah. me, too. The extreme pita. There's a restaurant. Extreme, like, how extreme can a pita get?
That's right.
It's pita.
Well, they take it to the max.
So I thought, that's right. At the end of it, when you go through, you order what you want, and then when it's done, they throw it in your face. Extreme!
Throw it in. Come to think of it, the term epic is thrown around pretty loosely when referring to burritos and such. I don't know that...
Well, whenever they call it the ultimate, I just go, oh, so it's the last. Ultimate means this right. is the last one of these I'm going to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've obviously had a penultimate burrito.
A penultimate burrito. Well, I had the burrito saga. Right. And I was like, I ate the burrito. Then they brought another one.
Right, right, right.
And then when I was into my fifth, I was like, well, how many more are there? They go, it is a saga, sir.
You signed the form.
You signed the form. You just keep eating. Quit asking yeah. questions.
Now, it's interesting, the way that you did something was it started real and then got fake, which right. is exactly like so many other CBC things I know happen. I got a friend, I won't name her, but she's got a segment on a show, and it's a show where people, you know, she interviews people about, you know, how do you feel about this? Mm-hmm. And I've had to be that person right. many a fucking
right,
time.
Right.
So many times she's there with the equipment outside wow. of something we're doing. I was just like, listen, could you just pretend to be a
70-year-old Korean woman?
Just slightly different up, yeah. And now two people I know now do This Is That, which is just
I know those
straight
guys.
Out. Yeah,
Pat, a great show.
Pat and Peter. Right. Yeah, they do just a fakety-fake show and just mm-hmm. like, well, everything's fakety-fake anyway, so go all the damn
right,
way.
Right, right.
My mistake was when I used to be on Real Time, we tried to do it real, and that was my fuck up. So,
yeah. What an amateur. I mean, what an amateur.
I just kind of, they weren't that funny when I was trying yeah. to sort of...
You had a good second season. Like most good comedies, in the second season, you got it. You understand how it works. People go, start with the second season. Second
and then I just good. Murdered that horse. No, I mean, there's actually quite a few of those that haven't come out. Because they sort of changed the rules a while ago about being strictly Canadian content. And I had a few artists that... contributed questions that were American.
Oh,
and they wouldn't let, and I had some good ones too, like, you know, the Polyphonic Spree.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing about cults.
Okay.
With like backwards messages and stuff that I so wanted on there. And
well, here's
can't
the
have
stick it
no,
on the web. Stick it on the CBC web. That's
are they still
they
together,
were.
The Polyphonic Spree?
I don't know.
That was a big, I saw them in the Commodore. That's a big group.
Huge group.
A big group.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw them on the Fragile Army tour.
Right.
How big are you talking?
Like 40.
How do you travel? How's that work?
It's like a series of tie-dye painted buses.
That's yeah. Right.
Because they're not a cult.
How do you make a dime on that if you have that many
right,
people?
Right, I know.
I know a couple of sketch comedy groups that have like 10 people in them, and this is like, well, you're fucked.
I do not want to be the guy handing out the per diems in that band.
They were on Scrubs. You probably saw them on Scrubs. There's an episode with a guy who's in the hospital who's a member of a band.
Yeah.
And the end of the episode, they do Reach for the Sun, which is a...
Oh, okay.
That's the band.
Yeah, I will look that up.
But
on
like, guys, I'm really sorry. We got paid, $300 split between 48 people.
I mean, it would be hard. I don't know if they're still around. I just think.
What do you do for hotel?
Well, just the.
Right.
Do you all
I mean,
sleep
we've
on
already.
Bus? Like, what do you do?
We've already talked about the musical climate. Like
today, you're the bed.
It would be
you
hard.
Five guys are the bed,
like Transformers.
I got to give the leader, the band, props for. Bring you know carrying it off for a few years.
Man,
anyway.
I can't get three people to come to rehearsal.
Oh yeah, you're right. Someone's got to have a cold. Someone has to.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
winter, like yeah. at least a third of your band has a cold.
I once
they're giving it to the others.
I once seriously looked into adopting a couple of kids just to have a rhythm section I could count on.
That's tough at the adoption agency. Like, yeah. Just having the Canadian Idol type auditions.
They sniffed me out pretty quick because like. I was pretty far into the process, and they're like, "Do you have any questions for us?" I'm like, "Are they cool to tour with?" And that was when they, you know, I said, "No posers or time wasters."
That's right.
That was it.
They know road rules.
They
sensed. Right? What happens on the road stays on the road, huh, kids? Am I right?
Yeah.
That's right. They got to be into Sabbath. What? What are you talking about?
We share the hotel room. We save the money. We spend the money on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay. I just want to talk a little bit about music.
Sure.
Because no one cares about it anymore. And I just think that's a fascinating thing.
No one cares about music.
No one hums anymore.
I go into a store, I do not hear music. I go into a restaurant, no music is playing.
Yeah.
There are no iTunes, no music on iTunes.
No music on iTunes.
No bands.
I've started to get a little disturbed at what I do here lately around town when I go into... Like, this is supposed to be kind of a hip, cool city.
Sure.
And this is Vancouver.
So-called.
And I was at, you know, I'm not going to name the place because I do love it. It's a fantastic cocktail bar. And I was sitting, I brought some visiting friends from Seattle.
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar?
Well, that much
and,
is true.
And I was just dressed as one. And I brought them there and Smash Mouth comes on.
Wow.
The band Smash Mouth. And I thought like, this isn't ironic. There is zero reason for this to be playing.
Followed by Matchbox 20.
Well, like a day or so later, the same friends, we were at another really well-known popular place, and Spin Doctors comes on.
I was about to throw in Spin Doctors, and then Spin Doctors comes on. Then I went, Ian, you don't know how to do this kind of musical joke. Stay away from the musical joke, Ian. And then boom,
Every one of these stories seems to branch off into another story, but I have yet another Spin Doctors.
Oh, we hate tangents
deal.
On this show.
Yeah, we don't do that at all.
Show, we do not tangent. Straight as an arrow. That is the way we do
things. Well, I'll make it really
guided
short.
Missile.
I was on a flight from New York home with a then girlfriend. I've ruined a lot of relationships. Just
that's
to
right.
be clear,
yeah.
These are all different.
All
girls
related
that
to
I
shoes.
Bought her the
disappointed.
Proper shoes. It's a Cinderella story.
Yeah. And oh man, that's another tangent. It really is. I just
go on that tangent, and then go back to the
okay.
Other.
I
love
just
how girls leave me at midnight.
Just a couple weeks ago, I worked as a male dresser for Disney on Ice.
Really?
I promise you, I have zero.
Did they
experience.
Hire you, or were you just showing up?
They're traveling around the
CBC
world.
CBC was looking for someone to
and a friend. They needed somebody to assist in the men's changing room. To help Goofy, you know, get his pantaloons on.
Get his goof on.
Yeah. And so I was the other, you know, lone heterosexual in a room full of flesh-colored unitards.
Oh, that's not a nice thing to call them.
Yeah, that's mean.
Now,
that's what you call them when there's one.
Oh, that's fine. Now, how many...
Polytards.
What characters did you just Goofy? Were you just...
No, it was everybody. And,
name the characters
and each,
you had addressed.
Oh, dear.
Goofy.
No,
Bambi. Bambi.
You know,
Bambi there.
The Beast.
Truthfully,
a race car.
I didn't have to work with Goofy. I threw that name out there to look like a big shot.
Okay.
I dealt
you
with.
You were the lower level.
I'm one of the Goofy.
No,
troop.
it's actually true. I didn't get close to any of the major players.
Okay, so you didn't do Finding Nemo. You did Marlin.
So you did.
Yeah, I was
Chip, the cup from Beauty and the Beast.
There, now you're talking. Yes,
Chip. Sebastian the Lobster.
There you go. These people. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to think low B-list. Tier Disney characters.
I would do B-list. All them. All
it's
the,
called
like,
the D-list?
The mouse from Cinderella.
Oh, a little yes. guy. A little guy named Aladdin. You heard of him?
Nope.
Who
made
else
it through.
Him?
He made it through the border.
I got.
Aladdin,
I got
that's
him.
Strange because he was being turned away for
it's
a long time.
It's a spray tan. This guy had a spray tan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would help them dress and. Yeah, it wasn't the most heterosexual job I've ever had, but I loved it. It was great, and they were great.
Oh, cool.
It was a weird job to have.
Did you get to rub Aladdin's lamp?
When you're a musician, you get a lot of bizarre jobs like that out of the blue.
Yeah.
I've been a giant dancing
So you're on a plane. You're on a plane to New York or from New York.
We're going two stories deep. Like, let's go back to Spin Doctors are playing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Inception.
This was the story. You're on a plane,
that's right.
Right?
I'm on a plane coming back from New York.
Okay, good.
With my girlfriend, and there's this really annoying guy on the plane. And
Goofy.
No, stay with me now.
Isn't anybody going to dress me?
Where's my peanuts?
It wasn't that far off. It wasn't that far
I'm
off.
Sorry, please.
Because this jackass, he obviously knew a few people, you know, seated around the plane. He was sort of like seat hopping.
Okay.
And then he ends up right behind us. And we didn't really get much of a look at him. But once he sat behind us, he wouldn't shut up. And my girlfriend started to refer to him as the wisdom wielder. I'm like, oh, great. Check out the wisdom wielder. See, he sat and he was talking to his friend. And one of the first things he says is... He's talking about his wife, who I guess they've just had a baby. And he's like, you know, I'd never say this to, you know, whatever her name is. I'd never say this to Kate, but I make a way better mother than she does, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then his next story was like, yeah, I'm in Italy recently. And like, I just start talking Italian. And my friend's like, you know, dude, you're talking Italian. I'm like, I know. He just started talking Italian. And he's going on like this. And then the flight attendant comes by, you know, gives us some peanuts or whatever, and she leaves. And then this guy's friend says, oh yeah, she's super hot, you know, and I saw her first. And then this wisdom wielder goes, no man, she saw me first. And he's going on about how he could land her if he wanted to and blah blah blah, and we're ready to
one
murder
of those people.
This guy just like hated him based on, you know, never didn't know the guy, didn't ever see him, but I could have turned around and jabbed a fork into his throat. And so
go, I'll show you how to jab someone with a fork.
And so, yeah. So we land, and then the flight attendant. And I should also add that he was the only guy on the plane with worse seats than we did. His seats were like right next to the shitter. You know, like we were at least two rows away.
Two rows away.
But
yeah.
He was right next to it. And
that's convenient, though.
It is. And the flight attendant comes over, and she's like,
"I got a lot of gas on the
transcontinental flight." Definitely. Yeah. She's like, "What? What did you say your band was again?" And he's like, Spin Doctors. So I turn around, and sure enough, it's the Spin Doctor guy, the like ginger beard fucking,
oh, yeah, yeah,
the worst offender.
Yeah.
He's the wisdom wielder. And we just burst out laughing, like just shamelessly in his face, just burst out laughing. Like human punchline.
I get they probably play a lot of casinos.
They were on their way to Alaska
to play a casino.
Possibly, yeah. Well, I was hoping it was one of those, we're just going to do this self-imposed jump on a, like, you know, a little ice barge and float out to the sea. Like an Inuit elder.
They're doing a package tour with Blind Lemon.
Oh, dear.
How many hits do they have? Two?
One.
Was it just the one?
The B one?
I thought there was two, but okay.
No, oh, Blind Lemon. Oh, sorry, you mean Spin Doctors?
Spin Doctors.
Yeah, they
maybe had
two,
because they had this Prince one, right? The little...
Yeah, two princes.
Two princes.
And Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
There you go.
Yeah. That was it. And they both sounded exactly the same. So
they go to like a casino and they're playing.
Yeah.
And they got the other songs. They got to fill time, right? They can't.
Well, it's just straight scat solo.
It's the rest of the. I'm going to do a little Italian for you.
The fucking worst sound a human can make is the scat solo. There's three people allowed to do that have ever lived.
Ella Fitzgerald.
And, wisdom wielder is not one of them. Yes, Ella Fitzgerald is one of them.
Who else are you thinking of?
I think I'll give Louis Armstrong a pass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess the Velvet Fog.
Mel Torme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, to be fair to the guy, he was trying to play the Ebo. It didn't work. He had to throw it down. I guess I'm scatting.
You know what? That's my fight or flight response, too. They have to add scat to that.
If you hear the Ebo version, it's fantastic.
Seriously, let's just put yourself in the mind of an attacker for a second. If you were suddenly assaulting someone in an underground garage, and in mid-rape, they just started going, It would really throw you off your game, I think. And in that moment,
Wait a second. Who is doing the doodly? Is it the rapist or the victim? Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's not the mugger coming out.
A rape a dwee 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 dee. A rape a dooby dooby doo.
I just suddenly. I thought you meant the rapist was scatting.
Although I
add insult to injury.
Yeah,
we found signs of scat at the rape scene.
Most definitely. I just said rape a doodly doo. I think.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
It's on tape, as it were.
Rape a doodle doos. It's over on.
I love that sports
right
bar.
Right next to Cooter Bonkers. In between Cooter Bonkers and Johnny Waldogs is Rape a Doodle Doos.
That is a terrible part of town, but the rent is so low. How can you not live there?
Hey, you guys like Spin Doctors? Because that's all they play at Rape a Doodle Doos.
Oh, I'm so upset that the porno theater across from us is going out of business. That's going to bring the rent up.
Yet another tangent. Down the street, there used to be this.
Venus.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I know you. I just know his voice because over my shoulder at the Venus, I would always hear this. Yeah, I've seen this one.
Yeah. Hey, is that Kareem from Kareem's Yoga? A couple of seats in front of us, sitting in five different seats at the same time. Good for her. She knows how to enjoy a film.
He'd move seats too and do different voices, like he's someone.
I can only ejaculate while scatting. Everybody, I'm so sorry.
Escatulating.
Okay, but what about the Venus?
Well, I remember it being really odd because it had an ice cream parlor attached to it. Like, it was attached, and there was a happy mural of ice cream cones.
What? Like, what about porn and cream are different?
I mean, who goes? Yeah, I'll have. Let's see, one for Anal Annie and the Backdoor Housewives, and a triple scoop of pistachio then in a waffle cone.
Was it called Cream Your Jeans? The name of the...
But when you're coming out of the theater, then you can go, spilled ice cream on my pants. Guy clearly spilled ice cream on his pants. He's next to the ice cream stand. He's holding an empty cone. This story checks out.
Yeah, except he's using it on the way in.
When they tore that down, they found out it was like had beautiful.
I dumped chocolate pudding down the back of my pants.
And this strawberry jam on my chest, I really should see a doctor. This is not good. I clearly have been shot. But they found like it was a beautiful old theater apparently when they were tearing it down. It was like, oh, this ceiling's gorgeous. Too late.
Yeah,
tear.
Well, it's the usual thing.
I think that, yeah.
It's the history of Vancouver.
They just had to boil the whole building. Just dip it in boiling water.
That's right. They had to come in with an exorcist come in and de-exorcise the... I don't even know what is it called. What is it? Exorcise. I guess it's called exorcise the building.
Exorcism,
they brought Corrine from Corrine's Yoga in and she exorcised the building.
I brought my laptop
in. I tied that in. Do you see that?
Yep.
I brought my laptop into Simply Computing and they recommended an exorcist. They were like, this is beyond our... we're scared to even touch it.
That is pretty simple computing. Yeah, it's all medieval
You shouldn't have bought it there.
I say burn it with fire.
Yeah.
I say dunk it in the water. If it floats, get rid of it. It's a witch. If it sinks, you know.
That poor machine. I'm told it does other things rather than email and porno, but...
But when you know,
isn't that where your Pro Tools
you know
is located?
The Spin Doctors have other songs besides their two as well, but those are the only two people care about. Very much like your computer.
Right.
I've tied in the Spin Doctors to that.
Thank you very much.
I always think it makes sense when they have those just the hits shows where it's just like we're going to have like 10 bands and you're all just going to do your one or two damn hits and then you get the fuck off and everyone's like, yeah, that's all we want to hear anyway. You don't wear
the old fashioned package tour where there's like 8 bands touring together.
Back to the computer, it would be way more embarrassing for them to find Spin Doctors songs on my computer.
Absolutely.
Any sort
of
pornography.
Bored by porn. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, hey, were you listening to Spin? It was porno. I swear to you, it was porno.
Two Princes. That's a porno.
It was scat porn. It was a scat porn. Two Princes.
Is there scat in that song? I don't remember that song very well. It's the 90s.
We'll put up a video.
They performed at Lollapalooza, the Spin Doctors.
How'd they go over?
I don't know. I didn't see it. No Fun were there, too, doing a thing, and the Spin Doctors tried to buy grass from them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Grass.
Well, weed or whatever.
Jazz cigarettes? Is that it?
That's right. So listen, we're a couple of hepcats.
They couldn't even get high cool. Pardon me, kids. Have you any hashish or marijuana? Any jazz cigarettes?
Jazz cigarettes. Zoobie-deep, zoobie-deep,
nab-a-doob.
Well, it's jazz creds checkout. Let's get them the cigarettes, boys.
My whole understanding of that culture is from A Child's Garden of Grass. So, you know, that's
I
only...
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It was a 60s drug humor album.
From who?
I don't know. Some people.
Very good. I don't feel bad that I don't get the reference. Okay.
I don't get it either. If you were there, if you remember it, you weren't there, Ian.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
that's what they say about true. The '60s, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Never,
I don't remember this.
I don't remember anything about the '60s. I remember nothing.
Okay. You can look it up, but you won't, because even though we've got all these computers, you will not allow. I was four when they ended. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Where the hell were we now?
We were taught. All right. We went spin doctors, glory holes, the CBC.
Just like we planned it, fellas.
I just want to. You brought up the word Jackass, and I just want to talk about something. I was watching Jackass 3. On Netflix.
Oh, uh-huh. Do they actually like address the issues from Jackass 2? Like, do they?
They do. There is some resolution to some of the things.
Does he
that
ever make peace
prequel.
With his mom?
It's a you see.
Yeah, it's much more. What's it's weird watching
it. 3D because it was the third film.
Yeah, it wasn't 3D. It's not 3D on Netflix. All right, just another strike against Netflix, as far as I'm concerned. No 3D. No.
So what happens in Jackass 3?
Well, you know, they do some stuff, like they get
Fade
hurt.
In a small farm.
They hurt each other.
A young woman's coming of age.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It opens
best
with a.
Summer of my life.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
There's a sunrise as it opens over the Pacific. There's going to pull back San Francisco. No, it's
Radio.
Mostly. It's mostly.
Sounds of war.
But what's so weird about watching
Morgan
it?
Freeman's voice.
Is, I don't know. I haven't been following their careers. I'll admit it. I don't really know what
right.
they've been doing.
Right.
Those guys whose names I don't remember, Bam Margera and
right,
other people.
Right.
Johnny Knoxville, so I think, did Dukes of Hazzard, and
okay.
that was in a movie with Schwarzenegger that no one went to see.
The Last right. Stand.
I think that was about it.
And so, well, he was in...
He's in a new one.
He's
right
in a John Waters movie.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger movie.
He's in...
He's in that, what's it called, Movie 43 or something like that?
Well, everyone's in Movie 43.
Yeah, he's one of many people.
Oh, okay.
That's the... It's a mad world.
Every time you see him, more
he's
more
in one of the Men in Blacks, too.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
That's great.
Men in Black 3. He's only in the third movie of any series.
Yeah.
He's in a Lowdown Rotten Shame. Whatever that one.
Sorry, Dirty Rotten Shame.
Dirty something. The John Waters film. He's in that one.
I got a little tangent there, too, but go on.
Yeah, he's Yoda in Star Wars.
But no, it's just watching it. It's so disturbing because these guys are, they're like, I don't know, they look like pieces of like
shit.
Bacon.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They just look,
well,
they,
yeah.
they're grizzled, they're pot-bellied.
And it's weird because they take such good care of themselves.
it just seems like, boy, this is not an advertisement for this lifestyle.
Time to jackass it up.
You know, I guess, I know some of them, I guess one of them has been in rehab. One of them after the film died in a car accident. Drinking and driving, I think, was related car accident. So not an ad
but I
for...
I mean, when you're getting shot in the balls with a beanbag gun... And sticking race
yeah.
cars up your butt. I mean, I think they look pretty good for...
Yeah, that's the time where you go, maybe I should have practiced the piano mm-hmm. like a sensible gentleman
right.
like yourself.
Well, I mean, I've,
you learned the
I've done those other things too.
To
that's right.
Yeah.
There's nothing to preclude you from playing a piano with a race car up your bum.
Name one.
There's
an Elton John, asked and answered, Ian.
There you go.
Asked and answered.
Yes.
Liberace, asked and answered, Ian.
Liberace, well-known... what would you call it?
Race car enthusiast.
Race car enthusiast.
It's called hot wheeling for those of you
at home.
Oh, really? Could I top you?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Ass car. Okay, moving on.
Ass car.
Love it.
Very good. Well, I just wanted to point that out because it just seems so sad watching it. Like it just like I loved the first film when I saw it. I thought it was so hilarious.
Yes, it was really funny.
I died laughing. I rented it, brought it home for my wife to watch. And just about died, being burned to death by the radiation from the waves of disapproval that were
Nothing
emanating from her.
Nothing turns a lady on more. A bunch of skate dirtbags shitting
that
on
out.
Each other.
I found that out. My kids enjoy it.
Yeah. Let's set the mood here, baby.
And to be fair, through every L that you're looking at, you're going, eh?
Listen,
and then referencing down to your own
I
penis.
Moved,
ah?
What I did was I was sitting beside her. It got a little uncomfortable. I moved down onto the floor.
And then I moved into another apartment.
Scooted out the door on your ass to the other apartment.
I packed a bag.
I did enjoy
well,
it, though.
I guess we're done, sweetie.
I did enjoy
Kids,
it.
You fend on your
I
own.
I actually, after we watched it, I just packed. She went to bed. I packed it up. I took it over to a friend's house to watch it there. So I watched it twice in one night. So
the first one is really great.
It is.
Night pandas and...
Yeah.
That's one with
Roller disco truck.
They're in the bushes with the air horn at the golf course.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yes.
So the right people are getting
the
it
The tattooing
there.
On the back.
Yeah, in
oh,
the...
Oh, yes, off-road
Henry
tattooing.
Henry Rollins yeah. driving, yeah.
My
yeah.
wife did enjoy... We went to see it together. She enjoys people getting hurt, so that
okay.
worked out well.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Not
that's
as big
amusing.
On the... Eat the
I'm not
snow
a,
cone.
I'm not a prank fan. Yeah, I'm not a prank fan. So.
I'm also disturbed by the... I mean, this isn't so much Jackass, but this culture of kind of fail videos, this Schadenfreude kind of thing that, like, with the American Idols and the fail videos that go around. Like, it's really disturbing to me. I really have a hard time watching stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone sends me a video that says, you know, stripper pole fail or something, I don't want to. I can't watch.
They're gonna
it.
Land on their neck. Yeah, I don't want to see them land on their neck.
Right?
No,
I just don't want. I can't do it. I can't. It's like watching a surgery or something.
But isn't it? I mean, they all film themselves, so they must. And then it somehow gets out there.
I'm okay if they don't get hurt. I'm okay if it's a physical thing and they obviously don't get
I'm
hurt.
Sick but of my wife's sex fail videos that keep going around.
Even, or life fail, the one that's that circulated about me. Everything fail video.
There's a fail video and the person succeeds in it.
That's
right.
Well,
they really nailed it. Got
a
bullseye with the dart.
I should have called. That should have been the heading of my Indiegogo video. Stripper pole fail. At least people would have watched. I mean, they'd have been really disappointed afterwards.
Yeah, but
it's some guy playing ukulele to a dog.
They would have been like, "What the heck is this?" And they would have been like, "Oh, he's singing to a dog. That's so cute."
Here we are masturbating. Well, may as well finish.
That's a good name for something too. May as well finish.
No, I've heard that a few times in the heat of the moment.
I
may as well finish.
The cold fusion of the moment.
Since you're here.
Well,
I don't like the American. I don't like any of the American Idol stuff where they go up and the singer's bad, mm-hmm. and you see all the pros rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is like rich people laughing at a poor person. It's just like, go fuck yourself.
It's not just that they're laughing at mentally ill people.
Yeah, they're clearly deluded, and even the ones where people don't get hurt. Like, remember there was the beauty pageant chick who was playing the Star Wars theme on the trumpet, but she was playing it, I believe, properly, but in a whole, like, half step out of key or something like that. And I couldn't even get through that. It's just like seeing someone try something and just, it's just too hard for me to watch, you know? It's awful.
Did you ever, we talked earlier about Joe Flaherty. They had a thing on called The Search for Second City's Next Big Star. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the judges. And at the end of, like, you know, each of the competitions, they had to shred someone's face, like shred like their image, like the headshot. Like,
that's terrible.
Well, you will not be Second City's Next Star. Bzzz. And like by the third episode, he just went, I can't do this, and just left.
Wow.
Like he just went, I can't. I just feel morally I cannot do this, and he left. I'm like,
wow,
where are we
going to
find someone? And who they find? Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas immediately, hello, right? And he was like, you stink. You're no good. No,
wow.
Immediately
got right into the spirit of it.
I hate that shit so much. Yeah,
yeah, I can't do it. Well, good for old Vic Arpeggio.
Yes.
It's tough for people like, I think, Dave Thomas. He's like Eric Idle, and he's like almost and like a Dan Aykroyd, in that you're the fast talking guy in your sketch group. When you get older, that gets rough, and you can't do the fasty fast talk anymore. And then it's just just gets a little But you can be the angry guy, John Cleese. You can be that guy for the rest of your life because an angry old man still also works.
Mm-hmm.
Or Joe Flaherty, you can be the tall, skinny kind of that guy.
Yeah,
him forever.
Well, Eric Idle in Monty Python. Yeah, he played. And he also kind of played sort of the innocent. He had a kind of a babyish face.
He's also
the
handsomest of the guys.
Yeah, he could. Well, I think Michael Palin was the handsomest. He was the dreamiest.
Eric Idle was also one of the best drag performers on that show too. I thought he was great.
Mm-hmm. And
great
but did it the least. I think.
And then he got British face, like really British face.
Yeah, yeah. He does have a sort of what's her name? Ah, shoot! If I had it, it would have been gold.
Yeah,
it's a character on Downton Abbey.
I'm going to give you a set. Maggie.
No, who's the one who? Matthew's mother. She's the nurse. She's
damn! I can't help.
Haven't
it.
Exactly. Haven't seen
it's
the show.
It's an
sorry.
Obscure one too.
I was going to say.
Haven't
like,
watched it. It's
a
not on.
His
it's not on Netflix.
That's, like, aging really well.
Right. Yeah.
It's not on Netflix, which I've been watching all month. I'm now into show 460 of Breaking Bad.
Oh my God! Best show ever. Love it.
Really? I'm tired of it.
Are you?
Are you?
I'm at the end of season two, and I'm like, it's over. I'm done.
Well, that's
nope. It's not.
No, the show continues on. Apparently, it's another two seasons.
It goes places.
That's another show that it has a similar thing with
no spoilers.
With watching
please.
Those, I won't. Watching the fail videos only in that. You know it can't end well, so you're just watching this unraveling take place, and so that can be a bit tough. It can't but end horribly.
Well, as soon as he makes the initial decision in the first show, you're like, uh-oh.
Right.
This
but
is
a fantastic
you've
show.
You've ruined your life, sir.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV lately, which, you know, these people who are like, down on TV or I don't have a TV. It's like that's where some of the best work is being done these days, I think.
Maybe they're just saying they're poor.
I still prefer I still
shouldn't be ridiculing
them. I heard someone say that they preferred the television shows like Breaking Bad or or whatever
Downton Abbey and stuff. Any film that
but I see I'm the opposite. I prefer a movie cuz I like I like the brevity of the film compared to the endless recycling and all those shows like Breaking Bad and stuff, they all have the reset. You know, because you can't have the show succeed. Because if it succeeds, it ends, right?
Okay.
You know what I mean, right? Like,
I do know what it means, but I also know where the show goes so that I can't say much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is, for me, where I feel in season 2 now, I just feel like, okay, I've seen the same show or the same kind of setup fail over and over again.
So things happen. Yawn. Later. I'll just say that much.
I know stuff happens.
I think the writers realized the same thing you're realizing and made it.
Okay, well,
I like a lot of shows.
My wife is mad about it, so I will not be stopping. I have to watch all the rest.
Like, we're clearly the writers at a certain point, and everyone went, we're bored with what we're doing. We're just going to go. And now, like, in the final season, they're actually going, you know, we should actually ground it a bit more and wrap it actually up. And I'm really liking this season because they're actually doing things that land instead of everyone's just in crazy town completely. Yeah, it's just, and they're bringing it all together nicely.
Well, you know, Ian, I don't watch television.
Because I'm
so I just stared at a painting on the wall.
I watch it, but I don't turn it on.
It doesn't turn me on, man. I'm watching the latest season of Red Dwarf. They actually get back to being okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the last couple of seasons were just like, you don't get your own fucking show. It's like, oh, now you do again. Okay, good.
They're old.
And I like how they justify it too, which is they don't. There's some points where they just go, how did we get out of that before? Well, clearly, and then something happens and they're like, okay, let's go. And it's like, we're not answering. We just reset it to where everyone wants it to be, to where it's good. Right. We're not telling you what happened to all those other people and all this other shit. Okay, we just wandered away.
Well, I think we have to wrap up the show now, Ian.
Okay.
We're also, now running into 3 days
Archer's
long.
Archer's also very good.
We're running into the third day of the show, so I think we should.
Okay. It becomes Stockholm Syndrome at a certain point. Well, let's.
I love you guys.
Shane hated us at the beginning. Now
you're like Patty Hearst.
All right, we'll do our quickie plugs, and then we'll do a real long, solid plug.
We're gonna rob some. We're gonna rob some banks together after the show.
Critical Hit show is going on the 30th. That's my D&D comedy show happening at the Rio Theater. If you're in Chilliwack this Saturday, which is when you're listening to this now, if you're listening to it immediately, I think that's the 25th. I think something like that.
That'd be 26, I believe.
26th?
Yeah.
At Chilliwack, whatever the big place in Chilliwack is, we're doing the ultimate comedy show with
the
Roman
Chilliwack Hamill, Cultural Center.
Mouse. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Beautiful theater. Gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You know what? They give you the best food backstage.
Made entirely of chili.
Fruit.
Made entirely of chili.
Do they? Is it chili?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dave's interrupting me with nonsense. Trying to give you good, solid information. And he's just
doing my
pudding?
Job.
Huh? Cats? What? Number 5? How about this? What? Anyway.
I am not a number.
If you want to go see that, I think it's sold out, but, you know, try and get in. Stand in a line and go see it.
There'll be scalpers.
And the Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio. Listen to that because I'm writing stuff for that.
Okay.
David, what's in your life?
What's in my life? Well, I'm going to be starting with Shane and I'll be starting up the Symbionese Liberation Army. We're going to go rob a bank together. And I guess we should mention that we're going to be doing a live Sneaky Dragon at
two live crew
at the Van Calf.
Cool.
In April?
Sure. Makes sense.
No, May.
Sure.
Whatever. Sometime later in the spring we'll be doing, and then we'll also be doing a Fan Expo.
Yeah. So if you want to come and see us live, we'll be there.
It'll be great.
And now,
or not.
For the final plug for the Indiegogo thingamahoozits. If you like watching dachshunds be sung to, go check out the clip. This young man. I've heard a lot of good things about him. He said some terrible things on this show. Forget all those things. Forget all the things he said about lesbian bars. Forget it. This guy, he's on board with you. And you should be on board with him. Plug away. Go. Plug.
And if I don't get that money, that dog dies.
Oh, dear.
Dies.
That wiener dog's going through a glory hole to somewhere you'd want to know.
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, I still do need help getting the funding to make this record. And, I've begged, borrowed, stole. If just every one of my Twitter followers could send me $1, now make it $5, I think I would be done. I'd be finished.
Now, who are you on Twitter?
I think I'm under Shane Abram. Shane Abram, which is my middle name. Okay. That's likely what
So you're not really Jewish, actually. You're pre-Jewish.
Yeah, Abram is my middle name, and it has sort of a Jewy cachet. So
if you like Jewy cachet,
Abram was Abram was Abraham's name before he became Jewish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like him, I'm favored by God. Clearly.
Yeah. There you go.
But God doesn't give money. We give money to God. That's how things work. How religion works. We give money.
It's a one-way street.
So if you want to consider Shane your religion, you could give him money in that respect as well.
Yeah.
Just give him some damn money.
Come on.
What's it Why say not? On Indiegogo? How do we find you on Indiegogo?
I think it's under.
Oh brother. The whole fucking point of this. I don't know how to find me.
This is a window into what. My skills as a self-hustler. I don't know.
We're so Canadian.
Just search through the puppy that's missing a face.
I was assuming there'd be a link or something attached to your
dog. We'll have
pony.
A link.
So people listening
to this audio.
Okay, go on to Indiegogo and I believe it's under Awkward Stage Solo Record.
Yeah,
Awkward Stage Solo Record. So you just go on there and there's a bunch of different perks for you at various levels of donation. And we can also work something out in private.
Wait, what's happening?
He's going to recreate the Venus Theater for you, is what he's saying.
Yeah, there you go. You kids like ice cream?
You want an ice cream sandwich?
You like ice cream and yoga? Let me show you some. Show you a trick.
Yeah. Yeah, so have a look. Anything is appreciated for sure. Okay. Because I've got about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then after that, your new ice cream and yoga album will also be coming out.
That's right.
That's the B-side.
I just want to say, when I was driving here, I was thinking about a new thing called Canada Book, where it's just pictures of the back of people's heads. Because that's perfect for Canadians. We are the worst sellers in the world. We cannot sell ourselves.
No, it's true.
The back of people's heads. Well, look at Johnny Backcock came up with that one, obviously. It all makes sense. So anyway.
So I think Shane's going to play us out.
Sure.
Shall we play
us out?
Well, yeah. You brought your ukulele?
I have a ukulele here.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll play a number for five druids and masturbators.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we taking a pause while that occurs?
We're going to take a pause. This is the pause that refreshes people.
Okay. Taking a pause.
All right. So this song is the song that I play to the dog on the Indiegogo video. It's likely the first track on the record, I think. It's called Busy Losing Somebody New. It's played on a tenor ukulele. Here we go. These songs, the flailing arms of one who's drowning, desperate to take hold of any soul, am I postponed? The slow and steady downing. And if you're somewhere out there still hating me, know that I am too, that I always will do. But I'm busy losing somebody new. Somebody new, busy losing somebody new, doing just fine, and I only miss you half the time. I'm losing somebody new. This world has cropped my tail and docked my ears, and they're too afraid to deliver my mail. For I'll chase them to the end of their years. Why do we always think the worst, me and you? Will I place myself on more hooks than you could ever do? And I'm busy losing somebody new. I'm busy losing somebody new. Busy losing somebody new. Just fine, and I only miss you half the time. I'm busy losing somebody new. busy losing somebody new.
Beautiful. Thanks very much.
Give him your money. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Jane, thanks for coming in. Dave, thanks for coming in, even though you are contractually obligated to come in.
You're welcome.
Hey, there's Dave. Look, hey, that's him doing the podcast. Anyway, that's time for you didn't know what I was doing. I was actually shooting some video there.
Shall we wrap things up with a scat solo?
Absolutely.
I think we should.
Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the Sneaky Dragon scat solo that we're going to go out on. One, two, three, four. Cars up my ass.
Oh, yeah.